Thanks for joining us today for the fourth message in our preaching series, which is looking at John's Gospel and the call to believe. Today's message is a little different, as unfortunately I have COVID, and so I can't join you today in person. But let's share in this Gospel message together in a different format. Let's just pray. Oh, gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks that even though we may not be in the same room, we can share in your message for our lives. So, Lord, today I just ask that your Holy Spirit is both upon everybody gathered today, everybody listening to this message, and to me, that you guide us, that you lead us, that you draw us to your conclusion, that your Holy Spirit guide my thoughts and my meditations today. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been asked to prove that you believe? You know, we live in a world where being able to prove something that has happened, is vitally important. You know, unless you've got a dash cam on your car, you can't actually prove, you know, what happened in an accident. You know, insurance companies go, oh, we don't know what's going on, we can't pay the claim. Or, you know, that's kind of the proof that in the world we live in, that the word that we have, the word that we say we have, doesn't necessarily stand up as much. You know, if you don't have evidence to support your claim for about something, then people become skeptical. You know, we live in a world where there is a high level of doubt, a high level of cynicism, where conspiracy theories abound, and unbelief is extremely high, more than ever before, I reckon. Knowing this level of unbelief and seeking and the seeking of proof, I think people aren't necessarily seeking to gain understanding for belief. Rather, they put up these barriers of wanting to have more knowledge, more understanding, but seeking things, questioning stuff all the time in order to put a barrier to belief. So having all said all of that, I want us to explore today a passage from John's Gospel that looks at Thomas. And often we talk about Thomas as being doubting Thomas. And I really, you know, personally, I really actually don't like that label. Because I think Thomas has great depth of faith, depth of character, and he seeks so that he may believe, rather than what the world does, which is kind of seek, you know, question in order to not believe. So in exploring this passage, Thomas is seeking proof that Jesus is truly raised from the dead and that he was resurrected. I would like to explore that desire that Thomas had to truly know that Jesus was alive, and his lack of trust in his fellow disciples tested me about Jesus being raised to life. So let's go to the Bible, and I want to start a little bit earlier than the reading that we have about Thomas. And this sets the scene and brings out a particular point that I want to explore. And as we look into John chapter 20, verses 19 through to 23, it says this: "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them and said, 'Peace be with you,' he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' And then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" You know, Jesus did something here for the gathered disciples in that room, that locked room. He gives the evidence that he is the one that was crucified and that he still bears that mark of that crucifixion. He still bears that mark for our sake. And he gives that evidence to them that he is the one that was crucified, was buried, and was raised again, and is there with them right now. And he gives it to them without actually being asked by the disciples to prove that he is Jesus. Although, you know, you have somebody that steps into your room in this locked room and you would be wondering. Jesus does not hold back from helping his disciples to believe in him. Let me make that really clear and important for us today. Jesus does not hold back to help you from believing. If you want to believe, if you are leaning in and wanting to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's not going to hold back that evidence. He's going to give it to you. So knowing that Jesus is not holding back that evidence of who he was and what has happened, that he is the crucified, risen Messiah, and he does that willingly and freely for those disciples that are gathered, we then come to this section about Thomas, who wasn't with the disciples. And in that, there is so, you know, there's some points that I just want to bring out. So let's just go to John's Gospel, John chapter 20. And I'll just take the first two verses, 24 and 25 of that little section. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin. Some translations will have Didymus, which means being a twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord." So the disciples there are telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I've seen the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers in them and place my hand in the wound in his side." In other words, he wants that belief. You know, the disciples, they've experienced Jesus come into their room, into their midst, and they've been saying to Thomas, "Look, Jesus just came into our locked room and he was there and he showed us the marks in his hands and the wound in his side, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he gave us this whole thing about being able to forgive others' sins. If we forgive them, they are forgiven. He gave us this immense power." And Thomas is going, "I want to know. I want the same proof. I want the same thing as you. I want to be able to put my hands in the marks of the nails and the wound in his side." Thomas is, in essence, questioning the witness account of those disciples. And that's where I think, for many of us, that's where we fall down. Like Thomas, we question that and don't just accept the witness account. We want something more. We want to have that proof so that we can believe. But, you know, the interesting thing, you know, according to Jewish law at the time, in order to prove a disputed fact, witnesses needed to fulfill certain criteria in order to witness to that fact being there. And the first is that two must testify to the same fact. Now, the gospel account here in John's gospel doesn't elaborate whether to Thomas two other disciples were talking, but I would gather that Thomas came back to all of the disciples that were gathered there and they were telling him about this. And so we would have two of the disciples there that had first of all met Jesus testifying to the same facts, that they had seen Jesus, they had seen the marks in his hands and the wound in his side, and that he'd actually said that. So he was actually, they were testifying that. So tick on that account. The witnesses must be an Israelite. And yes, tick on that account, the disciples were. The witness must be a man, not a woman of full age, that is more than 13 years old, and not a deaf mute or a lunatic, and according to the better opinion, not a blind man nor a deaf or dumb man. So they tick that account. They also mustn't be a wicked man. Tick that account. The witnesses must not have any interest in the matter. So there's something that may hold that back. See, the disciples, they have interest in that matter that Jesus was there and it gave them that authority to forgive sins. As, you know, if you forgive the sins, they will be forgiven for you. That's a big deal. And so they have a bit of an interest there. So you can actually kind of start to feel a little bit more for Thomas. He's going, oh, look, did this really happen? Did Jesus actually give you that authority to do that? And finally, the witnesses must not be related to the parties that called him. Depending on how you define related, but that's basically what's going on. So, but despite ticking just about all of the boxes for witness accounts to at the Jewish custom at the time, Thomas is not convinced. He wanted proof, just like the other disciples had proof that Jesus actually was raised from the dead. It was the same person. I want to ask you, have you ever had a time in your life when you wanted more proof before you made a decision or a commitment? You wanted more information. You wanted more understanding about a subject. You know, I have to say I have, and actually I still do. You know, I look for more information before I'm comfortable making decisions. I often find myself, and here's the thing about me. I often find myself endlessly searching for information about a topic in order to make a decision, because I don't want to make a bad decision. And I don't know about the rest of you, whether you actually feel the same, that you don't want to make a bad decision. You don't want to make a decision that you might regret later on. And that's kind of often what I feel like. I want to be certain of the facts at hand. I often want to be, you know, really certain about what's going to happen and the information there, and then if we're spending money, if we're doing something or we're making a big leap, that we're doing it correctly. And so I gather information, I gather that proof that what I'm making a decision about, what's coming there, is the right one. I don't know whether this is actually something to do with my past of being, you know, past profession of being research science. I just need to be able to keep on finding facts and information and supporting that through observation. But I find I really need to have information and validate it through through those observations in order for me to be able to make a decision about something. You know, I think that Thomas here is wanting to actually have some information validated for himself so that he could make a decision about whether he had the same gifting that the other disciples had. That, as it says in John 20, 19-23, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I also sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I think that's the key for us when we're looking at this, is that Thomas wanted that same level of proof that Jesus was actually the one that was saying that if he forgives others, their sins will be forgiven. He's forgiving those sins, their sins will be forgiven. That's an immense power that is being bestowed upon those disciples. And Thomas is wanting to know whether what those disciples were saying was accurate and true. I think we do, as I said before, do a great injustice to Thomas when we call him doubting. Thomas was definitely seeking to understand, so that he may, in order that he may believe that Jesus was the resurrected one, and he actually can send them out to actually go and forgive sins to them, for those people. And see, Thomas had spent all that time with Jesus in his ministry, following along with him, and he'd come to trust him, he'd come to know him, he'd come to believe in him. And when confronted with the fact that he'd missed out on seeing the resurrected Jesus, he wanted the same experience that the other disciples had. And so he says, I won't believe until I put my hands in those nail marks. I put my hand in his side. So let's see what happens next. Let's go back to the Bible, back to John chapter 20, verses 26 to 29. And it says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Notice that, same as before. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing amongst them. And he gives the same greeting that he gave to the disciples previously. He goes, "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, notice this, without prompting, without, you know, any particular thing from Thomas, Jesus goes, he says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, look at my hands, put your hands in my wound in my side." So in other words, Jesus is realizing that Thomas has missed out, realizing he's seeking more information so that he may come to believe the same as those other disciples. But then he goes, "Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." So he gives that proof. He gives that. You know, Jesus is willing to give us that proof that we need so that we, in order that we may believe. He says, "Don't be faithless any longer. Believe in what your friends, your fellow disciples are saying. Believe in this. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus Christ." And Thomas does this. He goes, "My Lord and my God," he exclaims. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So in other words, he's going, you were blessed because you've seen me as well. But people won't be able to see me all the time. They won't have that same experience. Today we live in that world. We don't have the same experience of being able to see Jesus in that first hand. We hear the testimony of those other disciples. We hear the testimonies as written down in the Bible. We hear the testimony of people who've believed in their life and life has been changed. And we believe because of what Jesus has done. We believe because of the other witnesses people have. Jesus didn't tell Thomas that he was bad and chastised him. Instead, he greets him the same as the other disciples. He gives proof as the other disciples. And he's happy to show and help him with that proof. And he has the same thing. He has the same offer. You are blessed. We see here that Jesus is happy to help with our questions. Jesus is happy to help for that need for proof with us. So we should never be afraid to ask the question so that we may believe. We should never be afraid to ask the questions in order that we should believe in Jesus Christ. We should never feel that we are not enough because we're seeking more information to come to that point of belief. Now, you might be here today. You might be a believer. You might be have listened and believed for many years. And yet you may have something that inside of you has this little niggle, this little question. I want to encourage you today to bring that to the Lord. Bring that question front and center and bring it to the Lord and ask God to help you there. Because God is faithful and just and will actually help you. You may be questioning today. you may not be at that point of believing in Jesus in your life. And I want to encourage you to actually take that step and believe. Take that step and ask a question that you are really wanting to ask. Ask that question that will take you that one step into believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, Thomas there asked the question and Jesus answered it and showed him. Thomas was given the same as the other disciples. And in that simple act, like the other disciples, they believed and knew that Jesus lived and he truly is the Messiah that was crucified and was resurrected. He is truly the one that came so that our sins may be forgiven, so that we may be restored back to our God, our Maker, that our relationship may be made whole again rather than broken because of the fall. You know, Jesus is God, the one and only Son that came into the world that all who believe in him, notice that all who believe in him would be saved. And that's so important for us because that's what I'm asking you today. Is there a question that you need to ask in order that you may believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus came into the world so that you might have eternal life? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? Do you believe that Jesus has paid for your sins, paid for your transgressions, and wants to have that close relationship with you? I believe. The question today is, do you believe? So let's just pray together. Gracious, loving God, you didn't turn Thomas away when he questioned, in the same way you don't turn us away when we question. Lord, today may our questions be answered so that we may come to believe you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I just pray for the person here today that is seeking more answers, seeking more proof, seeking more understanding. Lord, may you come upon them and give them the answers that they are seeking. May you place a person today with them that may help them in this understanding. Lord, I just pray this in the power of your name, in the power of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.